Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning as we gather around fellowship one with another. And truly, our fellowship is with the Lord. Glory to God. And we thank you for the message and the word of the Lord this morning that brings light and understanding to us. So let it be as we enter into thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, all ye who have faith, enter herein. Praise God. This is the house of faith, and it's the hour of power. And, you know, let's see if we have some faith here this morning or this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone. All right. So today, I want to talk about this triple action faith. Ask, seek, and knock. It's very simple, but it's very loaded. And wait until you hear everything that the Lord will have to tell us this morning. You know, so you, some of you may know I love to use acronyms, you know, to bring out something valuable that I like to remember or share. ASK is today's acronym. And you can see that ASK spells ask, but Jesus would expatiate on the ask and say, well, A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. And yet it spells itself, you know, ASK spells ask. And you can see those three things. If you take each of those three letters like that, it can be really powerful. Well, before we get there, let's consider some hindrances to this concept. You know, what was the concept? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, he said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. And then again, he said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then he goes on to say, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Well, that's so powerful. So I know that, and I remember when I was a young man just coming into the faith, and right away the Lord will call me into the ministry many years ago. This was one of my foundational faith scriptures. I always used to say, everyone that asketh, receiveth. You know, my goodness. So, but let's get into that a little bit today. Let's get into the ask, let's get into the seek, and let's get into the knock, that triple action faith. Glory to God. It's simple, but I believe God has a lesson inside of it for us. Okay, so the first thing I want to do today is for us to consider, you know, why, you know, I mean, if Jesus gave us all these ways to get things from the Lord, you know, why is it that then we don't get things from the Lord sometimes? Well, let me lay out about 8 different scenarios here. And I hope you're taking notes. I'm going to lay out about 8 different scenarios here. I trust that someone will help me with the scriptures. The first thing is, you know, Jesus said, you have not been asking. Well, again, he was talking to his disciples at that time, but it also brings us a lesson. You know, ask and you shall receive. So, well, if you don't ask, you may not be receiving. So, well, first number one lesson or reason why we may not be receiving is we may not be asking. John chapter 16 and verse 24 will tell you that. Jesus said, well, hitherto you've asked me nothing and so forth. Ask that you may receive. So he was telling his disciples, or actually encouraging them to ask. Now, one thing we should bear in mind, one lesson to bear in mind is, you know, God is not a teaser. He's not teasing us, like dangle something in front of us, and then he tell you, come and get it, come and get it. And when you want to get it, he yanks it away. Absolutely not. If he's encouraging us, instructing us, commanding us even to ask, that means because he wants to give. You know, so he say you have asked nothing, that's why you don't have. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants our joy to even be full. So he's giving us this, you know, instruction and encouragement to ask. Well, James chapter 4, verse 3 puts it across this way. He said, well, why is it that you don't have? Well, you know, again, sometimes is, you know, you, because you ask amiss. You ask amiss. But let's read it first from verse 2. It says, you lost and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. You ask not. So the first of the reasons why we may not be getting what we need from the Lord, maybe because we're not asking. That's number one. And then number two, I have about 8 things that I will lay out here. Number two, sometimes when we ask, according to this very text that we are in right now, we may be asking amiss. First, it says, well, you don't have because you don't ask. Then next, it says, well, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. So that means, you know, if we are asking amiss, we're not asking for the glory of God. We're just looking for self-gratification. That is asking amiss. So that's number two. That's the reason why we may ask and not receive, or, you know, in one case, he said, we're not asking. In this case, he said, well, you ask, but you don't receive because you ask amiss. You can also be asking without faith, and you may be doubting, and you may be in unbelief. That's number three. If you do that, James chapter 1 also tells you in verses 6 and 7, that when you do that, don't expect to get anything from the Lord. Ask in faith, he said, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and, you know, with the wind and tossed, up and down, yo-yo kind of thing. You know, for not let that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, so you see, he posts it out there point blank. You know, and I'm bringing this as a lesson and Bible study today. I'm taking it slow, giving us these reasons why, you know, things may not be happening. You know, a few days ago, somebody asked me a question here in the room and said, well, after we've done all these things and yet we don't have them, you know, yet we don't get our prayers answered, then what? You know, so I answered it one way during the room that day. I'm answering a different way today. There are many reasons why we may not be getting what we desire. You know, so far we've covered 3. We may not be asking. Now, number one, maybe asking amiss. That's number two. We may not be asking in faith. That's number three. Well, you know, so Hebrews 11 verse 6 also tells us that. You know, faith is very critical. Without it, we cannot please the Lord. He that cometh to God, you know, must, if you're going to come to God in prayer, asking him about anything, you know, you better believe in the Lord. You know, because if you don't, you're not going to get anything. You must also know that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So that's number four. So far we have covered four reasons why we may not be getting our desires. Okay, let's look at a few more. I have about eight of them to pull out here before we go to the real lesson. But this is part of the lesson. You know, so when we are asking, if we are asking, that means we won't get it. If we are asking for to satisfy our own lust and not to the glory of God, we may not get it. If we are asking without faith or unbelief, we may not get it. Number four. Sin may also block prayers. I'm going to give just two scriptures here. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says that, look, God's hand is not shortened. His ear is not even deaf. You know, he can verily hear our prayers and he can verily do with his mighty hand. But the problem is, he says, our sins may have separated us from the Lord. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So that's number four. So far we've laid out four reasons or scenarios where, you know, we may not be getting what we desire from God. Or we, when we ask, we still may not receive. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. This one, you know, we're still on number four, talking about, you know, sin can block our access to God. You know, sin can block our access to God. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. That's Proverbs 15 and 8. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Well, if you turn that around, basically it also means that the prayer of the wicked will not prosper before the Lord. You know, so wicked here is just, you know, God describes wickedness as sin. That's all there is to it. You know, when we are in sin, you know, we live in sin, we walk in sin, we move in sin. Then we are classified among the wicked. When we walk in the light, we live in the light, we walk in righteousness, then we are classified among the righteous. You know, so it's that simple. The prayer of the wicked is even an abomination, you know, to the Lord. So that was number four. Number five. This is really serious business now. Unforgiveness. You know, Jesus stood in Mark chapter 11 and told that powerful, gave the powerful lesson after he had cursed the tree and the tree died and they were wowed. And he said, well, you know, you can even speak to this mountain if you have faith and it will be moved. You know, and you can say anything. You know, you can speak it with your mouth. Don't doubt it in your heart. But believe that those things you said will come to pass. Then you shall have whatsoever you said. So he put it out like that. So faith, declaring using the word of God and not backing down and not doubting, powerful. You'll have whatsoever you say, Jesus said. But he come back now in verse 25 of that same text and says, and when you stand praying. Now, this goes along with what he just said. So we can't stop at verse 24 and say, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's good. That's powerful assurance. But it comes right back beneath that, underneath that, right behind that and says, well, and when you stand praying, he already said you pray, believe you'll get it. But when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, so that Your Father in heaven may also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, he said in verse 26, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. And if you do, you know, if sin is blocking you, we already talked about sin will block your prayer. Well, if you are not forgiving, it means sin is at your door and it will block in your prayer. So that's forgiveness is so powerful. Check your heart towards people and forgive them truly. You know, this is one reason why we should forgive them, but we should really forgive them. But it's important to know that unforgiveness can and will block our prayer. Another one that is a bit subtle that we don't often consider is that strife, even at home, can block your prayers. You know, Jesus said, if any two of you shall touch whatever they, ask anything as touching whatever they shall ask, agree that I will do it. Well, the devil knows that, so he'll bring disagreement, even between husband and wife. You know? So it's called strife at home. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we see that there is something else here hidden inside this verse that may hinder prayers. And it's not just the husband that needs to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. Is the wife, you dwell with the husband according to knowledge as well. Because if you don't and allow the devil to pit one against the other, then he's got you beat. And your prayers may be hindered. So that's another subtle reason why prayer may not be answered. Now, number 7. Disregarding the word of God. A lot of people actually do that these days. They say, well, it doesn't matter. The moment you say it doesn't matter and, you know, discountenance the word of God like that, well, you lost your right to the word of God. And a lot of people sadly do that. Just some, you know, some people like to just cherry pick, you know, pick some things out of the word of God that they care about. And leave others out that they don't care about and say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, every word of God is pure. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9 tells us, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the Lord, or should say the word of the Lord, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You know, so that's another reason why prayer may not be answered, or, you know, we may not be getting what we thought we should be getting. You know, so, you know, don't turn your ear away from hearing the word of the Lord. Never do it. And the moment you do that, and I've heard a lot of people do that these days, and say, well, that doesn't matter. Everything matters. In Isaiah 66 and verse 2, the Lord says, this is the man to whom I will look. He that is of poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. So Proverbs 28 and 9 shows us, you know, the dangers and the perils of disregarding God's word. This one comes around and puts it in yet another way that look. For the Lord to have respect to your prayers, you better tremble at his word. So we see that if we don't regard the word of God, that may block our prayers. Last but not the least, we are praying. We've talked about many reasons why we may not get. Here is another powerful one. Lamentation 3 and 37. And I love to use this verse every time I teach on the subject of, you know, placing our faith on the word of God to get something. You know, and I've taught that so many different ways on this platform. I've taught the essentials of faith when we talked about the faith specs. I've taught the oracles of the principles. I mean, the principles of the oracles of God. We taught all these things, but it all comes down to this. Who is it that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Lamentation 3:37. All comes down to that. You can say all you want, you know, but if the Lord has not commanded it for that particular situation, then it's not coming to pass. You know, he says, look, you can't just say it and get it to happen unless the Lord has commanded it. So you can use this scripture to work for you in many different ways. You know, you can actually use it to defend yourself when people say negative things against you. You know, that's not what the Lord has commanded for you. But today's lesson is to see that even you, when you are praying and believing God for something, if it's not according to the word of God, you know, you may be spinning your own wheels. So 8 different things there that we have laid out why our prayers may not be answered. 1, quickly again, you are not asking. 2, you ask amiss. 3, you ask without faith and doubting and so forth. 4, there's sin in there, in the life, that may block the prayers. 5, there's unforgiveness that may block. 6, there may be strife or contention in the house. 7, you may be disregarding the word of God. And 8, you may not be asking according to the word of God. All right, so, I mean, that's a lot to think about. But now let's get into this triple action faith, which is what Jesus said. Ask, that's A. Seek, that's S. K, that's knock. So it's like a fire enfolding itself. It's like a word, you know, describing itself. It's like a prophetic thing inside of itself. How do you spell ask? Well, you spell ask by saying A-S-K. But what does A stand for? It stands for ask. What does S stand for? It stands for S. I mean, seek. And what does K stand for? It stands for knock. So you can see a double prophetic meaning right inside there within itself. Well, let me bring something out here in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 7. It says, everyone... Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. Okay, so let's put out some argument right now. You know, and I love, you know, a good argument around the word of God. Paul used to do that. You know, debate the word of God. I mean, he laid out some powerful argument in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection, you know, to show that, you know, if Christ was still dead, then our faith was in vain. And he laid out a powerful argument about it, you know, and so on. So let's lay out this argument. If everyone that asks receives, and everyone that seeks finds, and to everyone that knocks, it is opened. Then why is it that we don't ask, you know, have everything we want from the Lord? I mean, he said everyone. Now, everyone is everyone, as far as I can understand it. I mean, it's simple grammar, right? Everyone is everyone. So then why not? Because I was asked this question a few days ago in the room. Well, okay. And if when I ask, I receive, then why should I need to seek? Because I already received. You know, okay. When I seek, I find. Why do I still need to knock? If I have found already. You know, and so on and so forth. I mean, you can argue this thing so many different ways. But let's look at it and see what the Lord is really putting out here. There are many things in the Bible, many principles in the Bible that are laid out in front of us. However, there is a key to something. Now, if I hand you a bunch of keys, just like Jesus said, you know, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Well, whatever you shall bind shall be bound. Whatever you shall lose shall be loose. I'm going to come back one day and expand on that. But let me just here today throw it out. If I give you a bunch of keys, or even one key, if at one time I saw something, you know, on television where somebody, you know, somebody, there was a will opened after somebody died. And all it was a key. There was a key that was handed to somebody, you know. And that key apparently, you know, contained, I mean, was to open something that will give them everything. But the key did not say anything. It was just a key, you know. There was no note with the key. I mean, even if you think, okay, well, this key must be for some lockbox somewhere. Well, which lockbox? You know, I mean, oh, it must be some door that he opens. Maybe he opens some house. Well, which house? You know, so when you have a key and you don't know what good it is, I mean, you don't know what it is for. It's just as bad as if you didn't have the key. You're no better than somebody who didn't have the key. If you had a key and you don't know what it's for. So let me put it to us this way. I will develop that concept more in another room. But this is very key. Using the word key again. It's very critical. You know, we not need to know how to use these keys and where to put them so that they can unlock certain things. And many of the things that God puts out in the Bible, they are just keys. You know, they are keys. Just because the Bible says that by his stripes you are healed in Isaiah 55, 3 and 5. And Paul comes back and says, well, in 1 Peter 2 and 24, by whose stripes you were healed. So Isaiah prophesying it ahead of time. Peter coming back and say it's already done. But then why are we still sick? So that's the thing about, you know, knowing where and how to apply that key. Okay? Now, if the Lord said, everyone that asks receives, why is it then that we ask and we don't receive? Well, I already laid out many reasons here. But let's see some other concepts that Jesus brought out. Because you can't just take one verse in the scripture and run with it. You know, well, you should run with it when the Lord gives you revelation. But there may be other aspects that of this lesson or that concept that will help you to get it right. Let's look at some things that Jesus said about asking. One of the lessons that Jesus brought out very powerfully in many places in the Bible is that we must ask with persistence in prayer. Now, remember, they say Jesus said, everyone that asks receives. Well, if everyone that asks receives, then I should receive when I ask. But Jesus come back and teach us that, look, sometimes this ask, it may not be just a one-time thing. Well, let's look at some lessons that he told. In Luke chapter 18, one of my favorite verses when I talk on this subject. And the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 18, Jesus would bring out a very critical lesson here. Now, what we are teaching in this room today is not rocket science, but yet, you know, it's as simple as you knowing, you know, your keys in your hand, but knowing which door it opens or knowing which lockbox it opens, that's the thing. There is a key to using that key. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't know where to go put that key, you know, then you might as well not have the key. So let's see how Jesus put it here. And he's going to show us the keys to using the keys. All right. So in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told this story. And Jesus never told any of these stories just for telling sake. He's always bringing something out. Spake a parable to them to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mean, why should I pray more than once for the same thing? When he says, if everyone asks, receives. I should just ask and receive and be done with it. But it doesn't always work like that. There are many reasons also the devil will fight, will block things and so on. We saw that in the story of Daniel. He started to pray. A devil, an angel was blocking. God dispatched an angel, you know, to go and show him the revelation. And another angel, you know, met that one on the way and said, no way, you are not getting through. And so a battle ensued in the spirit. Meanwhile, Daniel didn't know anything about it. He just, you know, continued to pray. But when the angel finally got some help and came through, and I was telling Daniel that, look, from the day that you began to pray, I was dispatched with the answer. But it took Daniel 21 days, you know. But from day one, he was already dispatched. But 20 days later, he was still praying. And so we see a tremendous lesson there. Okay, but let's come back to it. I may come back to that Daniel story in a minute. Let's come to this. Jesus said, look, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So because of that, he told these stories, these parables. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. You know this parable. And there was in a widow in that same city, and she came to him and asked for something. Avenge me of my adversary. She came and complained, filed a lawsuit, filed a claim, filed whatever. You know, she just gave a complaint to the king. I mean, to the judge, sorry. And he would not for a while. But after a while, he said within himself, look, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman, this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearied me. Now, the way the Lord sometimes I'm just amazed. I'm just blown away by some of the things that the Lord would say, and he would just say it so simply. And the Lord said, look, hear what the unjust judge said. This judge actually says, you know, I don't fear God. I don't care about this woman. I have no compassion or empathy for her case. You know, I couldn't care less whether, you know, she was in the right, whether she needed to redress and whether something good should happen to her. I couldn't care less, you know, but, you know, unless I find a way to, you know, get rid of this woman, she's going to weary me by her continual coming. So Jesus is bringing out an aspect here. You know, so it's not just you ask and you receive. Well, if you have tremendous power with God in prayer, you may. But even those that do, sometimes they have to ask more than once. We saw the story of, I just told you about Daniel. We saw the story of Elijah when he was praying for the rain. He already said the sound of abundance of rain. He heard it. The Lord already told him he was coming, but yet he had to pray. We don't know how long. I mean, 7 different times he sent his servant to go check it out, and there was nothing. Why didn't it happen the first time? You know, so these lessons are there for us. And then Jesus said, look, listen to what this man said. He didn't care about God, didn't care anything for the woman, but the only way to get rid of the woman... And sometimes I wonder whether it's a sense of humor that Jesus is displaying here or just, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is really, you think about it. The only way to get rid of this woman is to do what she wants. That's the only way I'm going to get rid of her. I mean, this woman will come, they will send her away. She'll come right back the next day. And they will send her away and then she'll come back again. And the judge will say, look, send her away. I don't have time for her. And she'll come back again. And so finally, this man said, look, this woman is going to weary me out. The only thing I can do is just give her what she wants already. And that will, you know, get rid of her. And imagine the Lord using that to teach the lesson of prayer. So that tells you that, look, even though he said, ask and you shall receive, and everyone that asks receives, it means that sometimes You got to ask, and actually it's many times, or even most of the time, you got to ask with persistence in prayer. Also, the same concept is described in Luke chapter 11. I want to read these lessons, you know, because they are powerful lessons that Jesus told. In Luke chapter 11, from verses 5 to about 13, he told some other stories similar to this. He said, look, you know, which of you have a friend, I go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, because I have somebody that came to a journey to me, and the stores are now closed. I can't go and get anything. Remember, it said midnight, so the stores are now closed. I can't go to the store to get him anything. Now, can I just borrow 5 loaves? And so he stands at the door. Now, in this case, this man is knocking. This is a concept of knocking, right? So he goes to his friend's house, neighbor next door, and he knocks. And the man says, who's there? And so he tells him, he said, no, go, don't trouble me. He goes, go away. My children are in bed. You know, I cannot rise and come to you. You know, and Jesus said, look, if this man that's at the door keeps on knocking, and this man that's inside keeps on saying, go away. My children are already in bed. I can't get up and give, you know, respond to your needs. Well, something is going to shift if this man at the door keeps knocking, because he's knocking. And he, no, look, if the man inside doesn't want his children to be woken up, there's something that he's going to do to get rid of this man that is knocking. Not because he's his friend. That didn't move anything in this case. But the thing that is going to shift, cause a shift in this case, is because this man didn't stop knocking. And he kept knocking louder and saying, look, boom, 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 it hits on the door. You know, now the man better in the inside better get up and respond to this man. You know, I have to get rid of him. Otherwise, he's going to wake up the whole house. So Jesus told these stories. I mean, this is amazing the way Jesus brought these stories out. You know, and he said, look, he's not going to get up just because he's his friend, but because of this man's, you know, persistence. You know, the word importunity means that he's going to get up and give him what he needs just to get rid of him. Glory to God. You know, so. And this one goes with where I was talking about, the ask shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be open to you. Luke captured this part of it that Matthew didn't capture quite exactly. You know, so, but here's another thing also, you know, about, you know, asking that Luke captured here. He said, look, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Shall ask a fish, will he give him a, you know, a serpent, or if you ask an egg, will you give him a scorpion? He said, well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? In this place, he says, Holy Spirit, in Matthew, he says, you know, give good gifts unto them that ask him. But you must ask, and you must ask for something specific. So these are some of the keys to using the key. If the son asks the father for, father, can you give me something? Well, it will be the man, the father will be in his right to give the boy a stone, because he asked for something. A stone is something. You know, he asked for something, you can give him something that is not what he wanted. But he said something. He wasn't specific. You know, so there's another lesson there. When you ask, be specific. Don't ask for something when what you really want is bread. Because if you ask for something, the man could have, the father could give you a stone, and he would be right because you said something. But if you ask for bread, he would not give you a stone. So let's be careful when we pray and not use generic prayer like, Lord, bless me. What does that mean? When you say, Lord, bless me, then come back behind that and be specific, you know, so that, you know, you know, when the Lord does it, you know that he did it because you knew what you asked. So that's another lesson there. In Isaiah 45 verse 11, the Lord actually told us to command him. Say, ask, command ye me even concerning the works of my hands and these things. I mean, there are many places where God gives us these instructions. You know, ask me of things to come, you know, concerning, you know, my songs, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. I mean, the Lord has given us a blanket thing, you know, ask. Many scriptures where he tells us to ask, even for revival. You know, it's not just physical things, even in things that relate to the harvesting of souls, revivals, the kingdom, and so forth. You know, ask ye of rain in the time of the latter rain. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord will make bright clouds, and so forth. You know, and, you know, give grass to every, give rain to every one grass. You know, see again, you know, every one grass in the field. Well, what about, you know, Psalms 2 and verse 8? And the Lord said, look, this is even for the salvation of the lost. We can ask for it too. And the Lord will, you know, answer it. You know, Psalms, you know, so, you know, Psalms 2 and verse 8. Ask me, he said, even the heathen for an inheritance. Hallelujah. Well, when you ask for inheritance, the Lord will give it to you. You can possess their gates, but it can also be for their souls. Ask of me, he said. I will give you even the hidden. Hallelujah. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. But we must ask. And many other scriptures like that about asking. Here's another good one. You know, ye that make mention of the Lord, Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. You that make mention of the Lord, he said, give him no rest until he make you a praise. This is also about these lessons, same thing about lessons, so keep knocking. If you disturb him long enough, he will get up and do it. Can you imagine? The Lord is telling that those lessons with respect to us asking things from God, then that look, don't give him any rest. Keep pounding on the gates of heaven. And, you know, God's going to have to answer you one way or another, you know, but don't just ask and walk away. Persistence in prayer is something that the Lord taught that goes along with this asking. What about seek? We've broken down ask. What about seek? I mean, sometimes we have to seek the Lord, and seeking is different from asking. You know, I mean, something that you're seeking is like you're looking for something. I mean, you're seriously looking. There are some lessons, there are some stories that Jesus told about, you know, how, you know, to look. I mean, there's this story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. There was a woman that had some jewels and stuff like that. And she lost a very precious jewel. And what did she do? He said, well, Jesus said, which woman having 10 pieces of silver, Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, if she lose one, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she had found it. And when she had found it, then she celebrates, you know. So in this case, I know he's talking about, you know, a soul that returns home, but it's also the concept of seeking. This woman was seeking that which is lost. The good shepherd also, you know, would leave the 99 and go seek the one that went astray, and so on and so forth. But it brings out the concept of seeking. You know, seeking. This goes along with asking sometimes. It's kind of like, you know, you're looking for a job. Well, you can pray all you want for the Lord to give you a job, but if you stay locked up in your room all day long, You don't go seek for a job. You don't go apply anywhere. You don't go, you know, knocking on any doors. You're just in there, your room, praying. Well, you may be praying for a long time. Sometimes you have to put some action to those prayers. You gotta get out of that room and better go look for a job. The looking part is the seeking part. You know, maybe when you go around, you see some places that say now hiring. But how would you know if you just sat down in your room praying all day long? You know, so you got to seek and so forth. Here are some lessons about seeking. Psalm 27 and verse 4. Say, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. You know, there is some seeking that's in this man's heart. He's going to seek after what he desires. In this case, it's a spiritual thing, but you still have to seek it. You know, that will I seek after, he said. And then he came back and said in Psalm, that was Psalm 27 and verse 4. And here in Psalm 34 and verse 4, you know, here's his testimony. Well, he said, I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So there is an aspect of seeking here, seeking after the Lord, you know, as the heart, he said, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my heart after the Lord. That's even for, you know, spiritual things. You know, he said, my heart is panting after the Lord. You know, just like the heart is looking for the water brooks. So there is an aspect of seeking, even to seek God's face, even in spiritual things that we must do. And then there is Isaiah 55 verse 6. We're still on the subject of seek. Isaiah 55 verse 6 talks about, you know, how we must seek the Lord, even when we are looking for things from him. So, you know, let's read what it says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So we are instructed to seek. You know, seek is an action that, you know, requires searching diligently, looking diligently, searching diligently, you know, until you find. Praise God. And here's another one that he puts out for us in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And many people know the verses, two verses before that. We quote it all the time. I know the thoughts of that the Lord has towards me, you know, thoughts of peace and not thoughts of evil, you know, to give us an expected end. We know that. But listen to verses 12 and 13. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. It's an invitation. And ye shall seek me and find me. There's a condition though. And you shall seek me with all your heart. We can't do haphazard seeking. You know, diligently we must seek the Lord. We read that also in Hebrews 11:6. Those that diligently, it's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we must be diligent in seeking. We must be persistent in prayer. And let's talk briefly about knocking. You know, now, what does knocking imply? Well, knocking implies a door. You know, I mean, generally we knock at the door, right? You know, so even though the Lord said in Revelation 3, 7 and 8, I am the Lord that openeth and no man can shut, and shutteth and no man open, and I've set an open door before you, and so forth. The Lord said that. I've set an open door before you. Well, if you have set an open door before you, then how come, you know, things are still closed up for us? Well, it's the same principle that I'm talking about this day. Setting that the Lord says here means he has made provision. Destiny, you know, for you, the destiny for you to go through through that door, but his divine providence will guard that destiny, will make provision for it. I covered that lesson some months ago here about providence and destiny. Is, you know, there is an open door. He's made provision for it. But well, you got to find it. You got to find it. Some people say, well, when some door is locked, look for a window or one this and that and so forth. You got to find it. And you must knock. And even though the Lord says these things, why are the gates then still closed unto us? In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 2, and I did this lesson a few days ago. Open ye the gates, and the righteous nation may go in. What? Why are the Lord, you know, saying then that the gates you open? Commanding the gates to open. I mean, if he already set it before you, well, you know, just because he set it before you doesn't mean the door is not going to close up again. It will. If the devil has something to say about it, those doors and those gates have hinges. When you open the door, the hinges will close it back if you're not careful. You know, but the Lord has the ability to keep that door open for you. But you got to know how the right key that keeps the door open. You got to know that. You know, so when you're knocking, it's another thing that you must do alongside sometimes with ask, seek, and knock. You know, I gave the example of looking for a job. You got to do all of those things. You got to pray. You got to go out there and look. You got to go online and look for the openings that are being advertised. Then you got to go knock. You got to go send in your resume, apply in person. Sometimes they say, you know, all these things. You got to do all these things. You can't just do one of them sometimes. Sometimes it's more than one thing that we have to do. Now, listen. The Lord always likes us to do something. You know, it's kind of like Moses. They was at the Red Sea with the children of Israel. They're trying to go forward. They can't. So Pharaoh is charging down behind them. And they're standing there. And even Moses is crying unto the Lord. And the Lord said, why you stand here? Go forward. You know, so sometimes the Lord wants us to do that. One time Peter needed to pay taxes. And they came to and said, well, does your master pay taxes or not? Tribute and all of these things. And Jesus said, well, you know, who pays taxes? Is it those that are the children or foreigners? And they answered and said, well, okay. The children are free, but you know, so that we do not offend them. You know, Jesus was always mindful. Jesus didn't come to always rock the boat. You know, so what? That we do not offend them. You go down and do something. Now, why did Peter have to do something? I mean, Jesus could, he's the creator, but Jesus doesn't work magic, but he can create. And so sometimes he wants us to do something. You know, he wanted Peter to do something. Go down to the lake and catch the fish. The first that you get, open his mouth. You'll find a silver coin, pay for you and me. There's a lot of things that Peter had to do to get that done. Lot. He wasn't always carrying his fishing gear around. In fact, he had dumped the fishing gear because Jesus told him, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He dumped that. Now, Jesus is sending him back. So he had to either go find some fishing gear, maybe go borrow, maybe go buy another, or maybe go find the one he dumped somewhere, you know, and then go down to the lake. All of that takes a lot of time because he wasn't going around without fishing gear. And the whole time, the word of the Lord will be tried because the devil will tell him, come on now. You're going to go get a fish and find coin inside it? Come on. You know better than that, you know. So, yeah. You have opportunity while you are doing something, you know, the devil will come against you, have opportunity for the word of the Lord to be tried in your life. So that's one of the reasons why you must do something. You know, but we know that, you know, Peter, you know, he was persistent in doing what the Lord said, and he did actually find the coin in the mouth of the fish that he caught. It didn't matter which, where he threw the line that day. It did not matter. For Jesus said, the first fish, whether he threw it to his left, threw it to his right, threw it to the center, it did not matter. As a matter of fact, you know, those fish that were in the lake or wherever, they heard the voice of the master. And they are struggling to be the one to swallow that coin. There was a coin somewhere in that, you know, thing. And they, you know, they respond, their creation responds to him. He's the master. And they're saying, you know, every one of them is struggling. And the one of them caught it up, and he's going to go to that line when Peter throws it in, because it's the voice of the master. Once he speaks that voice, he commands, and it's done. He speaks and he stands fast. That's it. You know, there is nothing else to it. Even creation will do that. They will obey his voice. So Peter, what he had to do. When they needed to feed the disciples, I mean, not disciples, they needed to feed the crowd. They had to do something. Jesus said, well, you give them to eat. He said, well, where are we going to find all this, you know, for all these people? He said, well, do something anyway. What you got? He said, well, we only got this. He said, well, that's enough. What is in your hand is enough, but you got to do something with it. That's the same thing that Jesus, God told Moses at the sea. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. You just say, well, it's enough. But go set the people in companies, 50s, make them sit down. And you go give to them. You know. And so Jesus blessed the bread and the fish and gave it to the disciples. And Jesus just walked away. That's it. Now it's up to the disciples to go do something with what God already put in their hands. Got to go do it. And actually the miracle of multiplication was happening in the hands of the disciples, not exactly in the hands of Jesus. Jesus only blessed the thing and he just walked away. And he break the bread. It's easy to break the bread into 12. There's no big miracle in that one. Anybody can do that. But the multiplication was happening in the hands of the disciples. They had to do something. Hallelujah. Now, but sometimes what the Lord wants you to do, maybe to do nothing. So you have to be led by the Spirit. So I got to bring a balance to this. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 tells you that, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You know, you got to be led by. Sometimes it is stand still that he wants you to do. When you are doing whatever the Lord tells you to do, even if it is do nothing, you are still doing something because you are doing what he told you to do, even though it may be stand still. I hope everybody gets that. In the same story of Moses at the sea, the Lord put a word in his mouth to tell the, even though he told them, go forward, he also told them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, sometimes you can stand still. The Lord will be the one fight. But you do whatever he tells you in whatever situation you are in, you know, and look, there are times he will tell you one way and there are times he will tell you another way. I'm going to give you 2 quick stories and then I'm going to pray over the room for following the doing of the Lord. You know, when you put this lesson together and see all the things you have to do in order to get your prayers answered with this triple action faith. Now, sometimes the Lord will tell you one thing. And then he'll come back and tell you another thing, which may even be different than the first thing he told. There's the story of Elijah, you know, and the brook. 1 Kings chapter 17. You can read verses 3 to 7. The Lord told him, you know, go to the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord. But it came to pass that after a long time, because of Elijah's own words, his own words caught up with him, Because he's the one that said there will be no rain. Well, enough time passes. There was no rain. And a brook dried up. You know, the same brook that God told him, go there and drink of the brook and I will command the ravens. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Well, the same brook dried up. And then the Lord came back and gave him a different instruction. So this is why you must listen to the Lord. It's all part of the package of this triple action faith. You got to listen to the Lord. Because one day he may send you to the brook. Another day he may tell you, well, the brook is now dry. Get up and go someplace else. And I often ask people, why did the Lord not prevent the brook from drying up? He could have done it. I mean, he caused manna from heaven. He caused the ravens to bring in food. I don't know where they got the food from. He could have caused rain to just fall on that brook alone, even though there wasn't rain anywhere else. He has done that in the case of Gideon, when we saw that, you know, the one place was wet and everything else was dry, and they reversed it too. God could have done all that, could have prevented the brook from drying up, but he did not. Because there is a new instruction that he wanted to give him for this present time. And so we must be led of the Spirit. And God was fixing to answer a widow woman too, that didn't know anything about it, who was about to die, you know, and God was going to solve that problem. Two for one is what God was going to do. And so he gave him a different instruction. So you must follow the leading of the Lord. I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you in the way that you should go. Well, when you are seeking, you need guidance. Otherwise, you will just be, you know, chasing a wild goose, as they say it. You need guidance. You need to be like guided technology, you know, that guides you and you can zero in. Hallelujah. You can get advantage from the Holy Spirit. David was another story, and we covered this last week or some time past. You know, when God gave him two different instructions. One time he said, go up. Another time he said, don't go up. Go a different way. Wait until you hear the moving of the Spirit among the mulberry trees. Read that story in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 18 to 25. You know, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against these Philistines that come up against me? The Lord said, go up. And he went up and he got the victory. You know, then they retreated and they came back again. We covered that lesson when we're talking about, you know, devil's going to come back again. It's like those doors will try to close again. And David went and inquired of the Lord yet one more time. He did not say, the Lord told me to do this last time and so I'm going to do that. He was smart enough to go ask the Lord again. What do you want me to do this time? And the Lord gave him a different instruction. You know, so sometimes these are part of the reasons why, you know, we don't get things done what we are looking for from the Lord. But when you combine all these lessons, you know, when you deal with the eight scenarios that we talked about in the beginning, things that block your prayers or may block your prayers, when you deal with those, and you also use the techniques that the Lord is teaching us here, including being led by God, when you put it all together, then at the end of the day, you will find out that when you ask, you will indeed receive. And when you seek, you will indeed find. And when you knock, it shall indeed be opened unto you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. Let me pray over the room and I am going to yield it to you for your reactions. I believe this is a powerful stuff. If you get a hold of this principle, and I'm going to come back and teach more on the key to using the keys. I'm going to teach more on that. But today, if you can understand this and you can do these things and take care of the other things that we said and block our prayers and do these principles, these three triple action. Sometimes you got to ask. Sometimes you got to seek. Sometimes you got to know. Sometimes you got to do all three. But even when you are asking, you have to be persistent. Can't just ask and then give up. You know, when you're seeking, you have to do it diligently. when you are knocking, you have to do it with importunity. Don't give up until they open that door. If you go to your friend's house and you see their car in the front of the house, you know they only have one car, and you see the car there, or maybe you see the lights there, or maybe you hear some music going on inside, then you know they're there, and you knock and they don't open. Are you just going to walk away? You know, no, you're going to keep knocking because you know somebody is there. You know, you knock long enough, you ring that doorbell long enough, they're going to hear you. You know, so this is our lesson today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for our lesson today. And I thank you for those who have listened. I pray, Lord, as they listen, we know that they have engaged you in the spirit. And may the Lord, you know, interpret the lesson into our minds, giving us inspiration and understanding of how to apply these things in our life, that we, that our joy may be full. Jesus said, do these things, you know, that your joy may be full. Thank you, Father. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.